Good evening and welcome along to The Score, our midweek sports show here in Highland, where we take a look at what's happening in the world of local sport. I'm your host, Mark Gallagher, and I will be with you from now until 8 o'clock. So, let's have a look at what's coming up on tonight's show. We'll hear from Ryan Ferry, who will look back at last night's win for the Donegal Under-20s against Fermanagh. We'll also be looking ahead to a big weekend for Donegal teams in GAA. Team Ireland manager Theresa McDade will preview the upcoming World Athletics Indoor Championships in Poland, and Ulster manager Gary Duffy will give us the inside scoop on how his preparations are going ahead of the FAI Interprovincial Tournament this weekend. That's all coming up shortly, but we're going to start with League of Ireland Soccer. Finn Harps and Derry City are both in action tomorrow night. In the First Division, Finn Harps will aim to get their second win of the season when they travel to face Kerry at Mount Hawk Park. Harps have now drawn three games in a row after last week's late comeback against Treaty United at Finn Park. Derry, meanwhile, will aim to start climbing the Premier Division table as they have a home fixture against Drogheda United. It's been a turbulent start to the season for the County Stripes, with just two wins in seven games so far. And I'm happy to say, joining us on The Score this evening is former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman. Anthony, good to speak to you again. I hope you're keeping well.
Hi, Mark. Yeah, all good here. It's good to be back on with you.
We'll get on to Derry City shortly, but we'll start with a chat about Finn Harps. Tomorrow night's game against Kerry will be their sixth game. Just the one win in there, but only one defeat as well. How would you assess Harps' start to the season so far?
I think the Harps have been very good, Mark, to tell you the truth. Bar the opening night defeat to Athlone, they've been very competitive. They've showed real resilience at times. They've showed real quality at times. I know they've had a couple of home games there, like an excellent victory against UCD. But the pleasing thing from a Finn Harps point of view is that you go to Cove, you go a goal behind, you stay in the game, and you play very well because you watch the highlights and scored a really good goal. But they defended really well. Showed great character in the Cove game. And then last week, I suppose, the most telling thing is that, you're 2-0 down. You miss a penalty, and I suppose your head could drop and you could resign yourself to the fact that you're going to lose. But, they dug in. They scored two fantastic goals from young Magatir and Connor Tourish, and got themselves a well-deserved point.
Yeah, and as you said, it was a fairly positive start to the season. But I suppose from Kevin McHugh's point of view, to have had those two home games and not win either of them, as we so often say, home games are so crucial in this league. And if you're going to make the playoffs by the end of the season, you would really need to be winning them home games. And that probably will be lingering in Kevin McHugh's mind this week.
Yeah, but I always feel, and I know what Kevin's probably thinking, all right, but I always feel that in the League of Ireland, where especially in the First Division, you have a lot of travelling to do, like say the likes of Wexford coming up to Finn Harps and Harps going to Kerry next week. Well, when you're travelling so far, like the worst thing in the world is the bus journey home if you haven't picked up a point. So teams will come and they'll set up and they'll be difficult to break down. And when you're sitting on a bus 6-7 hours. There's nothing more rewarding than you going back home with maybe at least a point. So I always think it's very difficult for Finn Harps with certainly when at home, because the teams that they're playing have so far to travel, and then themselves, obviously the away games you're all around the country. But so it's been like that for years, Mark, where teams will come at Finn Park, they'll not come out and open up to play. Their first thought is don't get beat. And, I always think it's difficult for the likes of Harps, especially, when they have to be in the front foot and they have to have that, show the initiative all the time in home games to go and take the game to opponents. And then when you do that, you always leave yourself the risk of being open. But in terms of the start, like if I was Kevin McHugh, I'd be really pleased with the start that they've had, only one defeat. Being competitive and the manner of which they've got the points as well, they're coming from behind and picking up really good points, and that I think it bodes well for the season for them.
Yeah, well, it's an away fixture tomorrow night down to Mount Hawk Park to face Kerry. Kerry yet to win again this season, and once again, I suppose it's a decent opportunity for Harps to get 3 points on the board.
It is, yeah. But I mean, you'd be looking at it all right. But Kerry, year on year, they have improved. And if you look at Kerry's fixtures and results, like, they've also drawn with Wexford. They've also drawn 2-2 with Treaty. They got beat by Athlone by the odd goal, same as Finn Harps. And they were on the reversal of a 2-1 at UCD. So the results and performances have been quite similar to Finn Harps, albeit that Harps have got a victory on the board. But, you know, under Colin Healy, you know, really experienced as a player and now as a manager, and the improvement signs are there for Kerry. And, like, it's not going to be an easy game down there, you know, and I'm sure Kerry will be like Finn Harps. Both teams will be thinking that it's an opportunity to pick up 3 points. But I always think the most important thing, especially in the away games, and I touched on it earlier on, is that you've got to stay in the game as long as possible. And if Finn Harps can do that, they have shown over the five games they've played so far that they are capable of getting goals, and especially late goals.
Yeah, we'll have live updates from Tralee with John Drummy from the 7:45 kickoff tomorrow evening. Elsewhere in the First Division, leaders Cork City are away to UCD. Treaty United host Athlone Town, and Bray Wanderers make the long trip down to St Colman's Park to play Cove Ramblers. Longford play Wexford on Saturday evening. Moving on to the Premier Division, Anthony, Derry City are at home to Drogheda tomorrow night. I think it's fair to say Derry have had a fairly underwhelming start to the season. Seven games, two wins, not really enough, is it?
No, Derry have been disappointing, I have to say. And I suppose things didn't help with Derry at the start of the season when they lost Brian Maher, who's a real steady influence from the back. And, you know, he's one of the most experienced goalkeepers in the league. And I suppose that added a bit of uncertainty to them. But even the games that they've won, like, they beat Sligo with a 91st-minute winner, and then they beat Waterford, but they were 2-0 down in the Waterford game. And, you know, we keep going back to Derry City and the importance of Michael Duffy. Like, for all the players that Derry City have brought in over the last couple of seasons under Tiernan Lynch, you know, Michael Duffy's still the go-to guy, still the, you know, the talisman for them. And in terms of, you know, if things aren't going well for them, he's the one can, you know, get them a point or get them 3 points. But, you know, it has been disappointing. You know, I'm sure there's been a huge turnover of players, both in coming in and going out. I think it was the last time we counted, I think they did 15 new players in the books this year from last year. And all the talk, I suppose, from the outside looking in, certainly has been about, you know, the team selection. And I think Tiernan hasn't picked the same team 2 weeks in a row, and there seems to be a wee bit of an imbalance in the team. Like, 2 games ago, I think it was the Shelburne game, was it? Where Ben Doherty played it right back, and he's, you know, predominantly left footed, and he's really more an attacking player than a right back. So there's been a lot of mentions of square pegs and round holes around Derry City so far this season. And you know, it's a no as well, the fact that their first 4 games of the season at home and against opponents where they thought that they should be able to pick up, you know, especially Sligo, Dundalk and Waterford, where I know that they were looking at 9 points from that, and then the Bows game. So but for Derry to, you know, out of that there to, you know, just get the 5 points or the 6 points, you know, it's not really what they were hoping for.
Yeah, and yet with all of Derry's woes, you might fancy them to go and pick up 3 points tomorrow night against Drogheda United. They've been able to pull out results in the past couple of seasons, even through the inconsistencies. So do you fancy a win for Derry tomorrow night?
It's hard to say, Mark. You know, Drogheda are very well organised under Kevin Doherty, and I know they've been a wee bit unfortunate in this season so far, but their record's just the same as Derry's. You know, they've both won 1-2, drawn 2 and lost 3. So, I mean, it's going to be a real toss-up. And again, as we spoke, not the summer to Finn Harps, where teams will come to the Brandywell and sit back and try and frustrate. And, you know, and Drogheda, the one thing about them, that Kevin Doherty, he's had that team together now for a couple of years. The players, they all have their roles and responsibilities, and they're all, very adequate at what they do. And you know, they did really well against Derry last year. I remember them coming up and getting a victory, and big Conor Keeley getting a couple of goals from the back for them from set plays and that. So, you know, it's going to be another difficult game for Derry. And but I'm sure on the other hand, it's a chance for Tiernan Lynch to be looking and thinking that it's an opportunity for them to get 3 points. So it's probably one of them where it could go the whole way to the wire and probably end up a draw, Mark.
Two teams that have started the season very impressively, Bohemians and Dundalk. They meet at Dalymount Park tomorrow. Two of the most entertaining teams in the league, I would say. That could be a cracking game.
It could be. I mean, Dundalk have had a really good start. You know, while again they've only won two matches, but they're proven that they're difficult to beat. They've had four draws in that. You know, and it's for a newly promoted team. You know, they've shown enough so far, and especially the game at the Brandyville against Derry, where, you know, I thought they were really good in that game. And if it wasn't for a 98th minute Michael Duffy penalty, they would have went away with 3 points. But you know, they'll be really pleased with the start they've had. But Bows, on the other hand, like, you know, Alan Reynolds, this time last year, I think the Bows fans were probably calling for his head. They had a very poor start to last season, possibly lost the first four games. But, I mean, they settled down. And again, a wee bit like Drogheda, where Alan Reynolds has been in charge now for a few years, and he's built the squad slowly but steadily. And there's no real big turnover of players. He's always added and improved it. And they're difficult to beat. And you can see their goals against Colum, there's only two in it. So that's a fantastic defensive record after seven games. And I suppose it's fair to say as well, and we're talking about Bows, you know, you can't talk about Bows and not mention Sam Todd, who's gone down there from Derry City, and he's been fantastic in the first seven games of the season.
Yeah, in other Premier Division games, champions Shamrock Rovers are away to Galway United, and it is Waterford up against St Patrick's Athletic. Sligo Rovers don't play until Saturday when they host Shelburne. Anthony, can't let you go without a word on the FAI Inter-Pro tournament this weekend. A great tournament. We're going to hear from Ulster manager Gary Duffy a little bit later on in the programme. But from a Letterkenny Rovers point of view, it's great to have so many players involved. And it's a brilliant tournament and one to look forward to for the county to host it this weekend.
It is, yeah. It's great for it's great that it's a home tournament as well, and like hopefully the public will come out and watch the games. And you know, we're under no illusion that it's going to be very tough for us, because you know, the Munster and Leinster teams and Connacht, obviously they've had the advantage probably of you know, playing it over a longer period of time, because our boys probably, you know, they didn't play the tournament, they didn't play in it last year, and I think the year before there was a lot of uncertainty around the tournament. So you know, from our point of view, like, it's been good that, you know, Gary set to work on it very, very early on, like when he was appointed into the position. Like, I think it probably started back in the start of November and assembling a squad. And you know, we're very pleased with the players that we have that's committed to it so far.
There you go. That is former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman. Anthony is also part of that Ulster management team for this weekend's tournament. More on that in just a second. But looking at matters elsewhere in the Irish League Championship on Saturday, Institute are away to Loughgall, and title chasers Limavady are also away. They play H&W Welders. Now, let's have a look ahead to that annual FAI Interprovincial Tournament, which will be held across Donegal this weekend. On Friday, Ulster get their campaign underway with a clash against Munster. That one is in Ballymun. They are from 7 o'clock, while Leinster meet Connacht. That is at the Dry Arch at the same time. Saturday then sees Ulster play Leinster at the home of Buncrana Hearts at 1 o'clock, as Connacht play Munster in Aileach. The last round of games will be played simultaneously on Sunday morning. Ulster's last game is against Connacht at Lakeview, and it is Munster v Leinster in Ballyar. Both of those games are at 11 o'clock. Now, the winning province will go on to be Ireland's representative in the 2026-2027 UEFA Regions Cup, Europe's top amateur competition that runs across two rounds of qualifying before leading to an 8-team final tournament in the summer of 2027. Earlier this week, I spoke with Ulster manager Gary Duffy, who's looking forward to a festival of football in Donegal this weekend.
Ah, look, hey, last time I spoke to you about the team kind of almost nailed down at that stage. We had one training session done, I think, at that time, so we've few more sessions, games under our belt, so aye, look, hey, we're as prepared as we can be and as best as we can be. And so, look, just looking forward to fighting out for the game against Munster and Ballyhale.
That's it. You'll have a good picture now of, I suppose, what kind of squad you're going to have at your disposal. An awful lot of quality in there. So I suppose the main thing and your main job over the past couple of weeks has been how to gel them together as a team. Have you had a good few training sessions and a couple of friendlies in there?
We've had a few. Probably could have a few more games, but look, with the weather and the availability of pitches and stuff, it was a bit of a hampering. But look, it is what it is. We've still got a game in, and we've had a fair few sessions and worked on a few things on and off the ball and stuff. And we were in Paddy's morning just clearing up a few set pieces and stuff like that there. So look, that's as prepared as we can be. So let's get at it on Friday night.
Taking a look at the squad, 9 teams represented from both the Donegal and Inishowen leagues. It's no surprise that the teams that are top of both leagues have the most amount of players in there. Letterkenny Rovers with 7 players and Cockhill Celtic with 4. That's a really good core group of players to be working with.
No, definitely. Both clubs have, along with all the other clubs, have played in plenty of big games the last number of years. Suppose Letterkenny and Cockhill have probably played in the most big games with their cup runs, and they've been in intermediate football the longest probably from the teams there as well. So, look, a lot of big players in the change room that have played a lot of big games. So we're hoping that'll stand us for the weekend.
You've got a couple from your own club, Buncrana Hearts, goalkeeper Seamus Naughton from Sea Rovers, and then players from the likes of Fannin United, Kildrum, Cadieux, Kilmacrenan, Donegal Town. So you've really got a nice enough mixture in there from players from everywhere.
Aye, we did. Look, we give as many players as much of a chance as we possibly could. Look, and there was a number of players that didn't make the cut who were good players as well. But as I said, like, nobody's always going to agree with what you select, but we've just went away with we thought was the best and the most balanced across the team. So, loads of clubs involved. But look, all really good players. And as I said, there's some really good players that didn't make the cut as well. And then, look, there's loads of players out there that didn't get a chance because of some of the rules that are in with us. So, look, loads of good players. And it's good that there's 9 clubs involved within the squad for the weekend ahead.
So looking ahead to the fixtures, you already referenced there, your first game is against Munster under the lights in Ballyhale this coming Friday. It should be an entertaining game anyway, and hopefully you get a sizeable home crowd behind you to support you.
It'd be nice to get a big crowd out to Ballyhale, 7 o'clock kickoff under the lights on Friday night. It'd be nice for the lads. Like, at the end of the day, it's a football festival within the area between Inishowen and Donegal at the weekend, so it'd be nice to see the football people out there and support the Nice. Look, Munster's not going to be an easy game. There's some cracking players and they've still got an intermediate league running down there, so they're going to be expecting to come up here and won it by all accounts. But look, we'll be hoping to put a dent on that come Friday night.
And the fact that all these games are in Donegal over the weekend, as you say, a festival of football, something for the fan to look forward to, that's something you can, you know, try and twist to use to your advantage. The fact that, number one, you know all the pitches so well, and number two, that you should have a good sizeable home support behind you the whole way.
Aye, look, I was sorry from the FA there during the week, and they were asking the same question. Like, you have to use the home advantage as much as you can, kind of off the pitch, as they say. Like, so we have our bearings on the grounds that we're going to, and the sizes of the pitches and the surfaces of the pitches, and so we're not going to be unknown where that has to be a small advantage within the group when you're hosting it. And look, the travel and stuff like that's minimised for ourselves because we're hosting, so that is one small advantage that we will have, and hopefully we can make massive use of it over the weekend.
On Saturday then, you play Leinster in Buncrana. I suppose on a personal level, Gary, I'm sure it'll make you proud to lead Ulster out at the home of Buncrana Hearts.
Aye, lovely. Definitely is now. And that was, people be thinking that was my choice, which it wasn't. It was pitches become available within the league, and that was one of the pitches, so we were fixtured to play there, and Alia had got though, and obviously McGinn's out because of the change room facility. So it'll be a proud moment for me, but I'd only be proud if we won the game or remember it more then. But no, definitely will. It'll be a proud moment for me and the players that are representing Ulster from Buncrana as well. So it will be a special one, yeah, definitely will.
And then you finish off with the game on Sunday morning at Lakeview. I suppose the big aim here is to get to that fixture on Sunday, still in the mix to be able to pick the trophy up.
100%, that's the aim. Look, you want to be going to Lakeview. Look, in my opinion, Lakeview's the best the best pitch in the country by a mile at the minute. We've played them there a couple of weeks ago in the cup, and it's like carpet there. So there's a lot of pitches are caught up within the county the last 5 to 6 weeks, but surface is unreal there. Hey, so it'll be lovely to be down there on Sunday morning with looking for a result to get your hands on the trophy. That would be that's the aim of the weekend, without a doubt.
And let's say you do win it, Gary. Tell us, what would it mean for the team and yourself to win this competition?
Ah, massive. Look, I think Ulster I remember them won it once before. I'm not sure twice, and I've played in a couple of ones where we haven't won it. But it would be massive to win it. And as a coach, that'd really be one that you would cherish, and you would look up to in years to come. And I'm sure it would be the same for the players. And look, lifting the cup means that you're going to represent your country at national level in a competition in a few months down the line. So look, it's the biggest trophy that you can win as a junior player. And it's the biggest competition that you can play in as a junior player. So look, everything's up for grabs. It's the elite challenge, as they say, for the junior players.
That is Ulster manager Gary Duffy. And as we said, Ulster get their tournament underway on Friday night in Ballyar. So the very best of luck to all involved. There's one fixture in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division this Sunday. It's a big one in terms of the battle to avoid the drop. Glenelg United go to Emerald Park to face St Catharines. Kappa Rovers have taken top spot in the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 2 after last week's defeat for Kerry Keel. Kappa are away to third place Milford this coming Sunday, while Kerry Keel face a trip to Ballybofey United. And the standout game in the Donegal Physiotherapy and Performance Centre Division 2 sees top of the table Raphoe Town host second place White Strand United. There's also a full round of games in the Saturday leagues of the Donegal Junior League. And in a show on this weekend, there's two games in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division. Second place Clonmany Shamrocks go to Cairn, and Ilies face QPS. There are also games across Divisions 1 and 2 on Sunday. Well, it's time for a quick break here in the programme. When we come back, we'll be turning the focus to Gaelic games. You're very welcome back to the programme. Now it is time to turn the attention to Gaelic games, and last night the Donegal under-20s defeated Fermanagh 215-311 in Buncrana. That was in the first round of the Ulster under-20 championship in Group A. A late Calvin McLaughlin score gave Donegal an opening round win. Gary Boyle's team were forced to work very hard for that victory against a good Fermanagh team, who burst out of the blocks and raced into an 8-point lead without reply. A Kevin Muldoon penalty and a goal from Donoghue Abuil kept Donegal within 2 points at half time, and it took a late effort from McLaughlin to get the job done. And to talk all things GAA, I'm now joined by Ryan Ferry, the sports editor at the Donegal News. Ryan, thanks for taking the time to join us on The Score this evening.
No problem at all, Mark.
So we'll start with the Donegal under-20s. Just about got off the mark last night, a 1-point win over Fermanagh. You were at the game, Ryan. What was your assessment of Donegal's performance?
Yeah, I think they were quite fortunate to get a result in the end, Mark. I suppose I was going expecting a comfortable victory, and Fermanagh didn't read that script anyway. They got off to a really good start. They were 1-5 to no score up after 10 minutes, and you know, they were, I suppose, Fermanagh maybe had nothing really to lose, and they were really aggressive. They were pressed right up on Donegal, often, you know, leaving a Donegal forward free in attack, but they were pushing up, trying to put pressure on the Donegal defenders, and it really worked very well for them. And you know, Donegal did get back on level terms with about 47 minutes played, but then Fermanagh got a third goal, and it just looked like one of those days where it just wasn't going to go Donegal's way. But you know, they showed good composure down the home stretch, because you know, they probably hadn't shown good composure throughout the game. They had a lot of wides taking on shots from poor angles, but you know, there was a Fermanagh breach, and they could have went for a 2-pointer when they were 3 down, but they didn't. They tapped over a free, and then Thomas Lenihan kicked a great 2-pointer. So that levelled matters. And then it was Calvin McLaughlin. He was only a minor last year. He was Donegal minor captain, and he was playing in the middle of the field, and he came forward then to get the winning score. So it was a big one for Donegal, because you know, it's a tough group with Monaghan and Derry in it, and you can't be afford to be slipping up against Fermanagh and Antrim, who, you know, without being disrespectful, wouldn't really be considered serious contenders to lift the silverware. So I think Gary Boyle will be just happy to get through it, happy to get through the first day, but they'll know there's big improvement needed if they're to make a mark in this championship.
For sure. Well, the seniors are away to Monaghan this Sunday. Donegal, of course, suffered their first defeat of 2026 in Roscommon last week, but a win this week will secure that spot in the league final. What kind of game are you expecting this Sunday in Clonus, Ryan?
Yeah, like, I suppose it's hard to say, you know, until we see the team sheets, how it'll shape up. But like, Conor McCahill picked up a knock in that under 20 game last night, so you'd probably be expecting he won't play. Finbar Rorty was rested last night, so does that indicate that he will be featuring in Clonus? I would say, suggest it possibly does. So yeah, I think Donegal will go into the game as strong favourites. I know Jim McGuinness said last week that he wasn't overly bothered whether they reached the league final or not. But, you know, looking at it, Monaghan have had a poor league. Like, they've lost all their six games. They've got a -63 score difference after six matches, which makes for poor reading. Like, you know, so I think even if Donegal can't win this game, you know, it possibly wouldn't be great preparation going into the championship. So I think Donegal will look to get the victory. Now, you know, they had a very easy one over Monaghan in the McKenna Cup final, but Rory Began didn't play that day, and Michael Bannigan only came on at half time, and a couple others only came on at half time. So I would expect Monaghan to be a bit closer than they were on that occasion, but you'd have to think that Donegal will have too much for them at the way the teams have been going.
You mentioned it there. What did you make of McGuinness's remarks about not being bothered either way? I think is what he said about making the league final. To me, it seemed more of a throwaway comment than anything else. Surely Donegal would be disappointed now at this stage not to reach a league final. You were there in front of McGuinness. You saw the context. What way did you take it, Ryan?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, I suppose it's one of those, you know, it looks like a throwaway remark, maybe when you see it in print or whatever. But, you know, there seemed to be a bit of frustration coming out from the Donegal dressing room the last day. Like, there was a bit of disappointment. I think they thought that was a game they should have won against Roscommon, you know. So, obviously, he's very much on the record of that, Jim McGuinness, that he's on the Ulster Championship is the currency that he values the most, and you know he's probably already looking forward to that Down Championship game in Letterkenny. But you know, Down are going to have a league final. They're going to be in the Division 3 league final, so they're going to be out that day or that weekend. So is there much harm in Donegal being out and potentially winning only a second ever league final? You know, but listen, Donegal will have their own objectives in this, and probably the league isn't hugely high up on that list. But you know, I would still be surprised if they are not fit to make the league final.
Yeah, well, that game against Monaghan is at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon, and as always, we'll have full live match coverage on Highland with Pádraig Kilfoirty and Brennan Kilcoyne. Just finally on the football, Ryan, Armagh play Kerry this weekend, Galway play Dublin, and Mayo face Roscommon in Division 1. If you were to pick the bones out of those games, who would you fancy to make it to the league final, and maybe conversely, who do you think are in most danger at the other end?
It's an interesting one. Like, Armagh are under a bit of pressure. You know, this has been a tough campaign for them. A great win against Dublin last week. If they're on 4 points, 4 points might be enough. So I can imagine that their need's going to be a lot greater than Kerry's this week. But, you know, Kerry are starting, you know, they're introducing their main players back all the time, even though Paddy Clifford got injured again. So been going very well, Kerry. I think Kerry will look forward to that battle, and I probably think that Kerry would just have a wee bit too much for Armagh with the players injured for Armagh at the minute. So I would expect maybe Armagh to, or Kerry to win that game. Andy Moran has no great love for Roscommon, so I probably think that Mayo will get the better of Roscommon if they're geared up for it. Yeah, maybe Galway to beat Dublin, which would probably put Dublin down then. So, which maybe the boys in Hull 16 wouldn't be too happy about. So, listen, with these things, there's always likely to be a few twists along the day, and I'd say there'll be a bit of drama on Sunday. Just suppose we're all hoping that maybe Donegal can avoid the drama.
That's the one. Let's move on to the hurling. Donegal have a tough task this weekend. They'll likely need to win against Roscommon to reach the Division 3 league final.
Yeah, it's going to look that way, because you would imagine the Wicklow are going to have too much for Louth, so they're going to get promotion. So it's probably a straight shootout then between Roscommon and Donegal. Well, I suppose it's not quite a straight shootout in the sense that Roscommon have 1 point more, so a draw will be okay for Roscommon. So with Donegal, you know, have to go to Hyde and get a result. And, you know, I think they're obviously very disappointed to be relegated last year. And, you know, they're probably a step or two ahead of some of the teams in Division 3. You know, and I'd say for the development of Hurling in the county, you'd probably like to see them get back up. And, but it won't be easy against Roscommon to try and get that victory.
Roscommon have probably been the best team in that division so far, and the only team that haven't been beaten. Regardless of what way it goes, it'll still be a very welcome test against a very good side before the championship kicks in.
Oh yeah, like I think, as I mentioned, probably some of those teams, you know, the likes of Armagh and Fermanagh, have been well out of their depth in that division. Like, so, you know, I think Donegal will look forward to a real good battle. And as you say, like they'll probably make peace with it, looking ahead to the Christy Ring if they don't get the result. But like I still think, you know, you'd want a bit of momentum going into it. Now Conor Gartland is going to be out injured, and he's going to be a big loss because he brings huge energy to that middle sector. And you know, like Donegal are down a couple of bodies this year, so like not having the likes of Conor is going to be a blow. But listen, there've been many good battles between Donegal and Roscommon over the last 6 or 7 years. They're very much of a similar level, and you know Donegal won't fear the Roscommon jersey, and hopefully they can get a result.
Yeah, the Hurlers are at Dr. Hyde Park on Saturday afternoon. 2 o'clock is the throw-on time in that game. And the Donegal Ladies, you're back out this weekend, Ryan. They've gone fairly well so far. They play Tipperary.
Yeah, it's been a really good league so far for the Donegal Ladies. They've 4 wins from 5 games. And I suppose the game they lost was against Cavan. And I suppose anybody's been keeping half an eye on the Ulster minor ladies scene over the last couple of years will have seen that the Cavan tend to be very strong, and they're very much a common side. I think they won promotion from Division 3 last year. So the Cavan are on the rise. So there was no shame in losing that day, even though it was a tight game in Ballyshannon. And, you know, Donegal bounced back well to beat Mayo. And, you know, that leaves them in a good position. They've got Tipperary and Wexford to come. So you would be thinking 2 victories there, we'll see them get promoted. And, you know, Tipperary defeated Donegal in the championship last year, but they have a number of girls now playing in the Aussie rules. Particularly Ashley Maloney, who's an absolutely quality operator. And I think there'll be probably no tears in the Donegal side that she won't be playing this weekend. And, you know, you would expect it's a long trip to Clonmel. You'd expect Donegal probably to get the victory.
The Ladies have been building quite nicely over the past year with James Daly at the helm. There are signs that they might be building something again, Ryan, and the future's looking fairly bright.
Oh yeah, like I think it is. Like, you know, they've obviously lost, you know, a lot of experience, likes of Eamor Gallagher and Geraldine McLaughlin, and not playing anymore. And you know, but they've got to move on with a younger cohort of players, and you know, the likes of Katie Dowds has been excellent for Donegal. And you know, I think it was important this year they did get a couple of players back, the likes of Ciara McGarvey and Tara Higgerty, and Nicole Gordon's back in. You know, so there's a wee bit more experience, possibly a wee bit more know-how, and that's made a difference. But yeah, you know, James Daly is in for a second year now. He's probably getting to know the team a bit better. And like last year was they had a lot of draws, if I recall, in the league last year. So you know, they've definitely stepped it up a bit, and you know, a bit of momentum going into the championship.
Yeah, the Ladies play Tipperary on Sunday afternoon in Clonmel, as Ryan mentioned, with a 1 o'clock throw-on. Ryan Ferry, thanks very much for joining us on The Score this evening. We'll be chatting to you again soon, okay?
No problem at all, Mark.
Now that's Ryan Ferry, the sports editor at the Donegal News, chatting all things Donegal this weekend. The footballers, hurlers and ladies all out, so it is a busy weekend for our county teams. You won't miss anything here on Highland Radio Weekend Sport. Derry and Tyrone are also playing in Division 2 on Sunday. Derry are at home to Cavan, while Tyrone are also at home. They welcome Tabletoppers Cork to Omagh. Moving on to athletics. This weekend sees one of the biggest global events on the athletics calendar take place in Poland. Five-time European medalist Mark English and Dundalk native Kate O'Connor, who won Ireland's first medal at this event since 2006 last year, will headline Team Ireland for the World Indoor Championships being held in Torun. Finn Valley's English has been in fantastic form over the past 18 months and has had a record-breaking start to 2026, breaking his own Irish indoor 800-metre record twice already this year. Letterkenny woman Theresa McDade is the Team Ireland manager, and I spoke to her earlier this week to look ahead to that massive event. Theresa, it's a big weekend for you. You're heading to Poland for the World Indoors. It goes without saying, but this is one of the big ones on the calendar.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think once you mention Worlds, you're certainly on a very much on a global scale. And again, it's for us, particularly this year, it's great that it's back in Europe again. And I'm personally quite happy not to be travelling to Nanjing like we did last year. So it'll suit us very well. Less travel is going to be better for our athletes as well too.
Yeah, and it's a strong team of very high level athletes you're going with. It must be exciting for you as team manager to be working with such an abundance of talent.
It is absolutely, of course it is. It's absolutely amazing. It's great to be involved in the sport that you love at a time that is probably its most successful, and to, I suppose, in some way making some contribution, some small contribution to that, and supporting the athletes and their coaches and their success. And I think we, you know, it's very important always that in the last couple of years we've come out and we've had a really good summer. So important to come out then the next spring and have a good indoors. And we've, you know, thankfully we've done that year on year in the last couple of years. And we've had a different groups of athletes and some of our regulars and that. So, great to be shown great diversity and all through the different events and both in track and field.
Mark English and Kate O'Connor headline the team going to Turin. We'll speak about Kate and her achievements in a moment, but maybe let's focus on Mark for now. He's had a brilliant start to the year. He's actually had a great 18 months, really, and he'll go to Poland full of confidence in his running.
I really think so. He certainly, and I think too, Mark took a lot of pressure off himself last year by just sort of putting himself out there in terms of what he wanted to do, and just nearly taking each race as it came and just trying to run faster. And very, very difficult September for him, and those hot seats, I really don't like them at any stage, but it's a horrible place to be. So I think it just really shows the true spirit of Mark English that we know, and how strong he is and how he can return and fight back, sort of thing. Like, and he's clearly wintered very, very well, and to come out strong and to be running times and running faster times indoors, and it augurs very well. And I certainly look forward to him making that indoor final. And as I say, anything can happen in a final.
Mark is a five-time European medalist, one of the most well-decorated athletes this country's ever had. Realistically, could there be a world medal in him this weekend if everything goes to plan?
Well, I think really, I suppose really, it's like anything, it'll be step by step. It'll be making sure that you're coming into the competition next week in the best shape that you can, both physically and mentally. It's getting through the round. 800s, particularly indoors, are very, very tough. The qualification is very, very tough because there's only six men can go in a final. So places are at a premium, sort of thing. Like, so I think Mark will fairly take one step at a time and come through that. I always say myself that, you know, first rounds, heats and that are messy. Semi-finals, good people go out, and anything can happen in a final. So I think, and again, with 800 metres, as we've seen that, it's been quite tactical. And so again, I think it creates opportunities maybe that there isn't there, and say the likes of the 3K or outdoor 5K.
And when will we see Mark in action in the first round of the 800 metres?
Mark is on. Oh God, I'll have to check. He's actually on day one. He's actually on Friday. So we'll see him in round one on Friday, just actually around lunchtime on Friday, all being well. And as I say, then he'll be back out again on Saturday, and
crossed,
back out then on Sunday again. So he'll have a busy weekend, please God.
That's it. Well, we'll certainly be keeping a close eye on Mark over the weekend. Kate O'Connor, she's an athlete that has really shown her pedigree over the past year or so. She made history at the indoors last year. She won Ireland's first medal since 2006 and then went on to get world silver in the heptathlon. Kate has really broke the mould with her performances on the world stage, Trish, over the past year.
She really has. And, you know, it's not that long ago that we had a young girl and had to actually withdraw from, I think it was in Munich, and like literally before, you know, almost sort of, she was ready to go to the call room almost when she had to withdraw from injury. So again, shows great strength and just that application of sort of getting there. Went to Paris then, and again, you know, learned so much from Paris, and she just gets very much a home bird in that sense, and she likes to, you know, her team are around her here, and it's great to see it. Athletes can stay at home and be successful as well. But after Paris, they sat down as a team and sort of said, what can we do better for each different segment of it all, sort of like. So again, just that application and just her attention to detail is herself is amazing, sort of like. Even as we all know, she had picked up a bit of a niggle in her competition last year at Worlds in Tokyo, and she had planned to go on a bit of a holiday with some of the other athletes that were going, but instead she chose to come home and get her injury sorted properly and make sure that it was rehabbed properly. So that's the sort of attention to detail that she's at. And again too, she's come, you know, it's great to see her coming out at National Indoors this year and PBing in the hurdles and a massive PB in her long jump, which augurs very well, sort of like. And that indoor, I think that indoor multi-events, I just think it's a real nice competition because it's kind of done in one day. It's a long day and that, but at the same time, it's sort of, it starts, it's done and dusted on a full day. And I think it's a nice, neat competition. And I think she does really well there. So please God, now she'll continue her form and again, her place rightfully again on the podium.
And what about Tyrone man Nick Griggs? He was recently crowned national champion. He's fairly highly ranked in the 3,000 metres this weekend, is he?
He is indeed, and let's not also forget Andrew Coskern, who's probably going to be ranked maybe in the top two going into this event as well. But Nick Griggs, or Nick is just, I often find that myself, I keep reminding people he is as young as he is. As we would say here, he's really only in short trousers in this business yet, sort of like. And again, he, you know, I think that there's a recurring theme here and our conversation today around athletes coming back from adversity and nothing is ever straightforward. And like last year, this time last year, Nick wasn't running at all. He was getting treatment for a really unusual sort of an issue. But again, did him no harm at all and he's come back really strong. I just think it's amazing for somebody like him to come into a World Indoor Final. And again, he really has nothing to lose and everything to gain. And, you know, we're going to see everything for Nick Griggs this weekend is going to be, next weekend is going to be a bonus.
Any other athletes in the squad we should be keeping a close eye on, Teresa?
Well, I think in fairness, like it's nice for, it's really good. We have a couple of 800 metre girls that are sort of making their debut, which is great. And again, we've had a good tradition of 800 metre girls. So it's really good to see the likes of them. And again, to our sprinters, you know, we have the likes of Bori Agnoli that has been around there knocking on the door a few times and running really well. And the likes of Lauren Roy from Belfast, who's in America at the moment, has just had an absolute breakthrough season. And again, you know, the majority of this team have A standards, and our A standards are they're really, really tough, you know. So if you're hitting an A standard at all there, there's every chance that you're going to progress and that you're going to be moving forward, something like. So yeah, it'll be a busy, and as I always say, when I'm really busy, that's always a good sign. It means we're doing well.
For sure. Definitely plenty of talent heading over as well. Just finally, Teresa, we talked about Kate getting on the podium last year and she's really set the bar for what Irish athletes can achieve. You're going over there to Poland this weekend and there'll be a real intent within the squad to come back with some medals.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think that's almost where, and the expectation is not of everybody else, but even within the squad themselves and within the athletes themselves and the coaches, you know, we're on that. We're very much now recognised as a country that produces medals and comes back, and it's a lot of pressure, of course, but equally we're well within our rights to, we do punch above our weight, but at the same time we're well within our rights to sort of expect those kind of medals.
That is Teresa McDade, Athletics Team Ireland manager, heading to Poland this weekend for that World Indoor Championships. Now, finally for tonight, we'll take a look at what's happening in the Ulster Rugby Championships from a North West point of view this weekend. Oma meet Lurgan in Championship 1. In Ulster Championship 2, there's the meeting of second-placed Ards and City of Derry. And Letterkenny welcome bottomside Monaghan to the Dave Gallagher grounds. And finally, in Ulster 3, there's a massive game at the top of the table. League leaders Belfast High School former pupils play second-placed Strabane. Corrine are also in action this weekend. They sit fourth and play sixth-placed Cavan on Saturday afternoon. Well, that is just about it from me tonight. If you missed any of tonight's show and want to have a listen back, you'll be able to find the full episode on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com very shortly, or over on the Radio Player app. We'll be back with another episode of The Score next Thursday evening from 7 o'clock. I am Mark Gallagher. Thank you very much for listening in as always. Have a great evening, enjoy the sport of the weekend, and I'll be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.